Jealousy, we're about to, the first part of jealousy that we spoke about is someone who's constantly mamish like up to like a foolish state. He's constantly wrapped up in being jealous of other people. That we spoke about last time. This time we're talking about a madrega of jealousy that he says Rav and Adam have this problem. Revolver writes that all young people have it. Kikol tsair soivel mekina. Every young person suffers from kinnah. So, Yisrael says, Rav b'nei Adam, the Alei Shur says, Kol tza'ir, tza'il mei kinnah. So, we're talking about something that's very, 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 very nagoya, that means. And a few important chidushim. A few very, very important chidushim. Omnam, Zokti Mesilas Yisharam, Omnam. Yesh acherim she'enam mitzta'arim v'koyavim kol kach. There are others that aren't as pained and hurt from watching other people do well or have atzlacha. Afal pi kein, but even so, yargishu ba'atzmam ezet tzar. They feel some type of discomfort. They feel some type of tzar. Ulefaches yiskarer rucham, it cools their spirits, calms them down a little bit, it gives them pause. V'ra'isam echad oyle eze maile yiseira. When they see someone going up to a tremendous maile, people, they see their friend who they grew up with suddenly making it big in any which area. The teva is, and Rav b'nei Adam will see soon, and on all young people, the teva is that it causes a certain amount of tzar, a certain amount of kinnah. Unless it's one of his closest friends. Even more so, if it's from someone who you don't have a particular liking to. And definitely, if it's someone from out of town, comes into town, you've been living here for 20 years, someone moves in next door and makes it big, everyone loves him, makes it famous, and you're just sitting here, Mr. Anonymous, for 20 years, it hurts a little. One refuah for kinnah is to reach a point that everyone is like your closest friend, that you always feel to every yid, mamish, like, you know, basar echad, like mamish, like one unit, one goof. Nobody's, if someone's left hand, if someone gets a ring, right? Let's say a woman gets a ring. Her right hand is not jealous of her left hand, or her left hand is not jealous of her right hand. She has a ring, right? If someone buys himself a shirt, so his feet aren't jealous of his stomach, that his stomach gets to wear the shirt. Right? It's one person. So if a person works on himself, this is a big madrega, if a person works on it, then he feels like he's connected to the whole Klal Yisrael. So then if you get a very good job, or you get a very beautiful suit, or a very nice car, so I feel like it's like my right hand being jealous of my left hand. I feel like we got a beautiful car. Another yid got something beautiful, something terrific. That l'chayra, the way Mr. Shram is saying, that could be a big refuah. The more a person is zaycha to love other yidin, the more a person doesn't have trouble being jealous. He doesn't have that problem being jealous. He's happy for someone else. What? Oh, that could be why the Mrs. Shabbat doesn't say it that way. The other way is because in every media there's different ways to work on it, different angles to work on it. Okay, but that's not going to be what we. That's just a side point. The Tira and see, and this is something that's the Maisa Mecholyan. With his mouth he says, Mamish, I'm so happy for you. Wow, this is good. This is terrific. It's fantastic. But their heart feels weak inside them. So somebody shows up to yeshiva, their parents decided to buy him a car. He shows up to yeshiva, leather seats, GPS, all, Pishavkis, everything. He shows up yeshiva, and he shows his friends He said, everyone crowds around the new car. Everyone, this one's in the passenger seat. They all go for a spin together. I was like, wow, this is a great car. Not a single person there. Not a single person. Doesn't feel Levi Ruffa Bekirbay. Hey, how come I didn't get a new car? I would have loved to be driving this thing. That's the human nature. That person feels like, 1 second, I wanted this. Levi Ruffa Bekirbay. And the guy who got the car is Nishkin Sadik. He's not a Sadik either. If his friend would have gotten the car, it would have been his Levi Ruffa Bekirbay. Not only that, but if his friend also got a car, it would take away a little bit from his simcha, right? Two people come with the same car, takes away. He's happy that he's the only guy with leather seats and GPS. He's happy with that. But two people show up with it, it's, all right, it's geschmack. It's not as geschmack anymore to share the malchus. That's the nature of jealousy. V'hudavar ye'era al haroiv b'roiv b'nei odom. This is something that happens, usually happens to most people. Even though they're not mamish jealous people, they're not completely clean from jealousy. Two people open the same business. Two people start selling mortgages. And one guy mamish one customer after the next, 10 customers, 20 customers, 30 customers. And the other one, because she 1 week, he has two customers, and then the next week he has one customer. It's a very, very, very hard not to feel jealous. Shekvar koluman sane lechavri, the measure says that the teva is of a craftsman, is that he has a certain animosity to other people that work the same craft. Certainly if he's being more matzliach than him. Now the Mesil Zishorim gives the answer, he gives the response. So what do we do with this kinnah? This is mamish unstoppable kinnah. There seems to be no way out. It's unstoppable kinnah. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? After B'ezras Hashem you get married, you'll be in the house market. And you'll see, mamish, you know, whether you're buying a house or you're not buying a house, you see, you walk into someone's house, your friend just bought a house, you walk into someone's house, like, wow, this is beautiful. And you're like trying to make sure that you don't look funny, the smile is right, you look like you're happy for him, and you say, how come I don't have this house? What's going on? How come I don't have this house? Hey, this is such good shape, and it's so big, and so many rooms. My house is so small, and there's only a few rooms. Like his pause. Levi Ruffa, Niskara Daita. His pause. You're like, oh, it's very nice. And your mom is right. The PM, Efshe Shein, Ritzvarim Kisleichem. Wow, this is beautiful. Some people, this is Stam, a good thing to know. Some people make it obvious their jealousy. I don't know if that makes them any smarter or more honest. Some people make their jealousy obvious. I'll tell you how. If you have a new car, and you invite your friend into the car, and he comes to the car, and he's looking around, and it's a nice car. And right away he starts telling you about how much money he saved on his car. That's the reaction. Who's talking about your car? I just put you into my car. It's an automatic response. Someone comes in, you just bought a beautiful brand new house. The guy comes in and starts saying, yeah, my house is not this big, but I made a fortune on the deal with the mortgage, and I get this, and the interest rates, and this and that. Are we talking about your house or talking about my house? What happened over here? That's the jealousy kicking in. It's a good thing to know. Some people, whenever, it's not just true about Kinyan and Gashmian. Some people have this teva, I've noticed, that no matter what you tell them, there's a response. Last night I stayed up the whole night and I learned. So the right response is, wow, terrific, gewaldig. Are you tired? You know, whatever. Some people are like, when I stay up the whole night, I'm amish sick for a week, it destroys my schedule. I'm not talking about you staying up, I'm talking about me staying up. It's a funny thing. I went out to eat, I'm amish, I got this great steak, whatever. Yeah, I don't like steak. I didn't ask you if you like steak, I'm talking about my steak. People have this teva, a lot of people, that they automatically respond with their way. So anything, the way I'm chanach my children is, that I do such and such and such. My children's teva is, just say very nice. It's a good thing to know. Someone tells you something, you don't have to respond with your life. He's talking about his life. Sometimes, but usually not. Sometimes that's what it is. I'll tell you what the difference is. If you ignore what the person said, then it's not a civilized conversation. most of the time, I got a beautiful Lexus. Oh, I saved a lot of money on my car. But I just told you I got something. It's not a needless thing. Well, you know, getting a little off the subject for a second. It's a needless. Someone tells you something that they got. Oh, gewaldig. Fantastic. Talk about it. Ask him some questions about it. Ask him how he's enjoying it. Don't shift the... Shifting this... Besides the fact that it makes it very, very obvious that you have this problem of kinna, but it's not nice. Someone just brought up... Someone just said something that they just got... I just got a new suit. Oh, you just got a new suit. Very nice. Like, Taka bought a new suit last week for $200. I just told you I got a new suit. It's...
It's working it the other way, though. You're used to the other guys. I mean that you're jealous of them.
I hope that.
What? No.
Let's not go there.
What? I think it's
I don't think usually it's like that type of L'shem Shemayim situation.
No, not that you're doing it, but automatically you're jealous of the person, another guy.
It's not true. It's not true. If you've ever been on the receiving end of it, it's not true. When someone makes it apparent that he's jealous of you, it just makes it takes away the whole gishmak. But this guy that came up, showed up with his new car, with the leather seats, and everyone got in, and he told him how gewaldig it is. If one person would tell him, look, I don't know how to tell this to you, it's a little hard for me to drive. I'm really jealous, I really wanted a new car. Nobody would do that, but if somebody did that, suddenly it would just take all the fun out of driving it. It's just like, you know, as a pullover. It'd be no fun anymore. It's not true. We like to have this thing, it's an amazing thing. I show up with a brand new car. I like to fardimian myself into thinking that everyone's just happy for me, even though I know that everyone's really jealous of me, and they're not saying, and I'm making believe that they're really happy for me. This is the game that we play, Maisim B'chol Yom. Because if a guy would tell me that he's jealous, or I realize that he's jealous, it would make me feel less comfortable. So I make believe he's really happy for me, even though, of course, if I was in his shoes, I'd be jealous like anything. This is the Seder HaChayim. Okay, so how do we get out of this mess? This is a mess. How do we get out of this mess? We're going to have to understand this a little bit. The Amnam, however, Lu Yadu V'Lu Yavinu, if they would only know and understand. There's no extra words in Mesilas Yesharim. Lu Yadu V'Lu Yavinu means this is something that's so difficult to have as a reality. In other words, we've learned this about Musar many times, the Yisoid of Musar, that what I know in my head does not help me when I go out on the street. It doesn't help. What I know in my head has to become part of my reality. It has to be something that I know and something that I understand, something that sinks in. It's a reality. I'm going to say this now. You're not going to be in this boat. Yeah, I know that. I'm still jealous. Yeah, that means you don't know it. What don't they know? Ki ein adam naigea b'muchan l'chaveiro yakfilu kimalai nima. Nobody touches what his friend is supposed to get, even to a hair. Nobody has something that his friend is supposed to have. V'hakol... Ka'asher la'kol me'ashemu. Everything comes from Hashem. Kifi atzosei haneflo v'chachmosei abilti ne'idas. According to Hashem's gevaldige eitzah and his unbelievable chachma, hinei lo'yhoya lahem tam lehitztar b'toyvus re'ayim klal. There's no reason for a person to have tzar b'toyvus re'ayim. This doesn't seem to make sense because I'm thinking like this. I'm thinking, fine. So Avi shows up, the brand new Lexus, the GPS, the leather seats, and he drives up. It's exactly the color I would have chosen also, exactly that color. And he drives up, and I start feeling that feeling. Oh, nice car you got there. So I start telling myself, so I know them still, Sharp. I said, no, this was supposed to be Avi's. It wasn't supposed to be mine. So I'm jealous of that. Like, would this help me? I'm still jealous. So it's supposed to be Avi. So it's supposed to be. I'm still jealous. We go into someone's house. They mamish. It's magnificent. A mansion. A butler answers the door. Your good friend from school. A butler answers the door. You're like, your eyes almost fall out of your head. Like, oh, he was supposed to have this. What does that help me? He was supposed to have it. And I'm jealous of it. I wanted to have been supposed to have it. What does it help? We need some help over here. Hillel Yisharim seems to be saying that if I recognize that it's from Hashem, I won't be jealous. Yeah, I believe in Hashem. I recognize that it's from Hashem. I'm still jealous. I wanted Hashem to decide that I should have it. The Yisoid is like this. The Yisoid is like this. The Yisoid is that we're forgetting the point. And this is a very, very sobering Yisoid. It's a very, very important thing to remember. It's a very good thing to go into Yantuf with. We're forgetting the point. The point is that life in this world is very, very, very short, relatively speaking. It's very short. And even though right now we have, Mirz Hashem, many, many healthy years ahead of us, but life is short. And relative to the amount of time that we're going to spend in the next world, the amount of time we're spending in this world is nothing. Because the next world is forever. And ever. And ever. And if you know how long an hour is, how long a day is, imagine day after day, year after year, month after month, decade after decade, century after century after century, lifetime after lifetime, and spent in the next world. Any kinyan that we get in this world is nothing, it's transient, it comes, it's gone, it's gone. The mashal, let's just say over, just because it's so gishmak, the mashal of the Balei Musar to understand eternity. You want to know how long eternity? It's hard to eternity, forever. I don't have a grasp. Let's take a grasp. Want to grasp eternity? Want to feel what it is? Imagine a mountain of sand. You ever saw a mountain of sand? You ever saw? You've seen the beach. You saw a mountain of sand ever? Wow. There's a place in Colorado that I once visited. There's a place in Colorado called the Sand Dunes. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Middle of nowhere. Not near the water at all. It's literally mountain upon mountain. Big mountain, like 5, 6, 10 stories high. Huge mountains. I have pictures of it at home. Huge mountains of sand, like as if you were on the beach, except there's no water. People climb all over. It's an unbelievable thing. It's about 4 or 5 hours out of Denver. Beautiful, beautiful thing. So imagine a mountain of sand, like the size of this room. Mountain of sand. And imagine that there's a bird. There's a little bird. And the job of this bird is one by one to take a grain of sand and to move it somewhere else. Because we're moving the mountain. Every 7 years, the bird gets to move one grain of sand. How long will it take the bird to move all the sand? That's the Balei Musar, it's not my mashal. The Balei Musar gives this mashal. Eternity. That's, oh wow. He moves one grain of sand, and now you wait another 7 years to move a second grain. Till it even makes a dent is a few hundred thousand years. Till it makes a dent in the mountain is a few hundred thousand years. That's Netzach, Nitzchias. We're here to prepare ourselves for the next world. Every house, every car, everything that we have, not because of the enjoyment of that thing. Everything Hashem gives us is because these are the things that I need, whether even talents, if I'm good at basketball, or I have a good voice, or I know how to learn well, or I'm good looking, or I'm funny, all those things. Those are all kelim that Hashem gave me to accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish in this world. It's kelim to accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish in this world. And now it becomes clear. If I don't need Avi's car to accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish in this world, then I don't need Avi's car. I don't need it. It's not for me. Rav Dessler gives the best mashal. I don't wear glasses. So imagine that Yosef would come in one day with a beautiful, gorgeous pair of new glasses. Mamish, $400 or $500 pair of glasses. Fantastic pair of glasses. Would I be jealous of him? I don't wear glasses. No matter how nice his glasses are, I'm not going to be jealous of the guy who wears glasses if I don't wear glasses. I don't wear glasses. I see without glasses. I can accomplish what I need to accomplish without glasses. You know, someone comes in, and you take the muscle, make it even stronger. Someone has a fake leg. It's mamish state of the art. They have now limbs, the fake limbs that you can put in. They have now this phase. It's in the news now because they're fitting 7 Iraqi amputees with new limbs. So they have limbs now, amazing things, that they teach these guys how to pull. So I don't want to show myself. They have it like a new arm. So they teach them how to twitch different muscles inside the upper arm, and it closes their hands, and they could make a high five and put up their thumb, and they could hold something. Mamish, completely fake. Ad kidei kach, that at least from what I understand, from what I read, if a guy is holding a cup with his fake hand, and the cup starts slipping, the hand feels it and automatically tightens itself. It's a computer. Amazing. So you see someone with a new fake hand, It costs $150,000. It's state of the art. You start to feel a little jealous. No, you don't feel jealous because you have, Baruch Hashem, two hands. You just don't need that. It's just not something that you need. That's what the Mesil Sishara means. I have what I need. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam She'asa Li Kol Tzarkei. Hashem gave me everything that I need. My mind, my personality, my koiches, my money, my family. Everything Hashem gave me is exactly what I need to reach that mountain of sand, to reach that eternity, that I could be happy forever, that I could have Olam Haba. The car now, it's irrelevant, it's a couple of years. It's two grains of sand worth, you know, it's nothing. It's nothing. That's what we have to remember. That's why it's an answer to Kina. Not Stamo, Hashem decided he should have it. Very nice. I'm jealous. I want that Hashem should have decided that I should have it. No, everything I have in this world is because that's what I need. If I don't need that, it's like I don't wear glasses and I'm jealous of his glasses. I don't need that. That's not what I need. Very, 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 very important, you say. The guy who got the new car, the guy who got the new glasses, the guy who got the new house, he has a big avoida in front of him also. He's not potter from this avoida. He has a big avoida in front of him also. He also has to realize that it's only a keli. Maybe his avoida is harder. So when Avi's driving his Lexus, he has to realize, Hashem gave this to me. I don't know what he gave it to me for. I don't know what I needed such a fancy car for. But if Hashem gave it to me, if Hashem gave me the money to buy a big house, if Hashem gave me the money to buy nice clothing, if Hashem gave me a personality that I have a lot of friends, or I know how to make a joke, or I have a good voice, or I'm intelligent, or so whatever it is, Hashem gave it to me to use for something. It's not just Hashem gave it to me. Hashem gave it to me to use for something. It's there for a reason. It's there to accomplish something. Let's read a few more lines, and then I just want to make one more point. Dr. Masil Sisharim, that all this is just in part of Olam Hazeh, part of Golos, that we think that other people have things and really we should have it. It's part of our situation in Golos. Vasilava, it's not going to be that way. This is what the Navi tells us about what's going to be in the future. Shalomantia Taivas Yisrael Shleima. So that the Taiv of Yisrael should be Shalem, because our Taiv is not Shalem if we're jealous people. We're not happy. Jealous people are not happy. Look in the second Chelek Alei Shor, where he talks about Simcha. One of the main things that he talks about how to have Simcha is to have Kavona in the morning when you say She'asa Li Kol Tzarkei. That alone brings a person Simcha. Just that I have what I need. I'm not Chaser. I have what I need. Jealous people are not happy people. I have what Hashem gave me. So Yaktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahasir Milvaveinu Amida HaMeguna HaZois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away from our hearts this bad midah. V'oz lo yiyeh tzar le'echad b'tayi v'sachar. And then a person won't have tzar when his friend has goodness. V'gam lo yitztorech ha-matzliach lahastir atzmoy. Someone who has big hatzlocha won't have to be master himself. He won't have to hold himself, he won't have to hide it from himself. Just hush it for fear that someone else is gonna be jealous. Someone gets a good job. Someone, you know, it happens sometimes. Someone gets a job. Someone gets a shteller in a yeshiva. Someone gets a job in a competitive market. And you go back to your old friends and like, so what's doing? And you push or feel funny saying that you have a job. You feel funny. Other people don't have a job. You push or feel funny. You got what Hashem gave you. People are jealous. It's a teva. And we have to live with that. The people who have to deal with it, and the people who have not have to deal with it. Lahaster Atzmayu Dvarav himself and his words Mipnei Akina from Kina. Behuma Shekosov, this is what the Navi says, the Sora Kina Sephraim, the Tzoyre Yehuda Yikoresu, the jealousy of Ephraim will turn away and the enemies of Yehuda will be cut off. Ephraim la Yikaneyas Yehuda, Yehuda la Yotzeres Ephraim. That Ephraim and Yehuda, they won't be jealous of each other, even though Ephraim and Yehuda are from two different Malchias. One is from the descendants of Yosef, and one is from the descendants of Yehuda. It's from two different Malchias in Klal Yisrael. So you can imagine there's a certain competitiveness between Ephraim and Yehuda. No, they won't be jealous. Each one has their Mahalach. Each one has the Kaychas that Hashem gave them. Hu Hashalom v'Hashalva Asher l'Malachei Hashoreis. This is the peace and the serenity that Malachim have in the beginning of, I think it's in the beginning of Kehelas. It says, the Apostle says, Chaverim makshivim l'kol chashmini. No, I think maybe it's Shir HaShirim. I have to look it up again. I think maybe it's in Shir HaShirim. But the Pasuk calls Malachim Chaverim. Malachim get along. Chaverim. Asher kulam smeichim ba'avoidasam. They're all smeichim their avoida. Ish ish al makoimai. Ve'ein echad miskani b'chaverei klal. Nobody's jealous of the other one. Ki kulam yoidim ho'emes la'amito. Everyone knows the real truth. Ba'aleizim al hatuv v'asher biyodam. And they rejoice about the goodness that they have. Usmeichim b'chelkam. And they're happy with their chelik. Not happy with their chelik. Even though I don't have anything, I'm still happy. That's not what people think. Ezehu asher asameach b'chelka is the guy who, like, Nebuch, you know, he didn't make it. So he's like, all right, I'm happy also. You know? That's not sameach b'chelka. Sameach b'chelka means I have everything that I need. I am a rich man. I'm a rich man. I have everything that I need. That's sameach. That's the difference between Esav, who says to Yaakov, Yesh li rov, I have a lot. I have a lot, there's still a lot more to get. And Yaakov, who responds to Esav, Yesh li koil, I have everything. I have everything. Yaakov tells Esav, I have everything. I have everything that I need. Sameach b'chelkai. I have whatever I need. That's the richest man. The richest man in the world is sameach b'chelkai. I just want to bring out, it's coming before Shavuos. It's a good idea. I just looked again just to make sure it was there. In the first chelik of Alei Shor, on page Lamed Vov, is a letter, an anonymous letter, written to a bacher who has the following feelings, that he's going through his man, and as his man goes, it just starts getting worse and worse and worse. And the reason for it is that he pashut feels like other people are smarter than him, they remember better than him, they think of better kashas than him, they're bigger masmidim than him. He just feels like he just doesn't have what it takes. And the whole letter is to talk about this idea that even in learning and even in Avodas Hashem, everyone has their place by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not the Chazanish, and we're not the Chafetz Chaim, and we're not the Gedolei Hador of today, we're not the Gedolei Hador for sure of the previous generation. We have limited minds and we have limited understanding, but all of us have something unique to give to Avodas Hashem of Klal Yisrael. All of us have our little bit that's also very, 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 very chashuv by Hashem. The same chelkenu b'sayres echa, my chelik in Torah. It's just as chashuv. When I'm sitting Shavuos night and learning, it's just as chashuv as when the Gadol HaDor is sitting Shavuos night and learning. Because he's doing his chelik and serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and I'm doing my chelik and serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He ends there with a story of Naftali Amsterdam told the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He told his results, he said, Rebbe, if I would have the Shagas Aryeh's mind, and the Yisayid V'Sharish Ravoidah's heart, and your Midas, then I'd be able to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the Israeli answered him, no, with your mind and your heart and your midas, that's how you serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Hashem doesn't want you to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with someone else's midas. And these are the Feresh Psukim that we say every Shabbos. Ilu finu male shira kayom. If my mouth was full of shira like the ocean, ulashaynenu rina ka'amoin galov, and my tongue was like the waves of the ocean. Usifsoisenu shevach kemarchavi rokiya. And my eyes shone like the sun and the moon. And my arms were outstretched like the eagles of the sky. And my feet are light-footed like an ayol. I can't properly serve you properly, Hashem. So what's the response? Al Kain, so what's the response? The response is, Hashem, I can't properly serve you the way you deserve. You know how I could serve you? I could serve you with the kelim that you gave me. Al kein, therefore, evarim shepilagta banu, the evarim, the limbs that you put into us, v'ruach u'neshama shenofachta be'apenu, and the ruach and the neshama that you blew into me, you didn't blow into me the Chafetz Chaim's neshama, you blew in my neshama. With that neshama, hein, hein, yoidu, v'yivaruchu, v'yishavu, with my neshama and my guf and my midas, as small as it may be, that's how I'm going to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's all the Rabbeinu Shalom wants to hear.
It's because I'm a chonuch that when somebody speaks to Rav Musar, you don't give another shmuz back to back. You know, when we were in yeshiva, we never hear two shmuzin on the same day. First of all, who wants to hear two shmuzin on the same day? And second of all, when you hear a shmuz, at least chinuch-wise, you hear a shmuz, you're supposed to take it seriously enough that you have what to think about. Anybody who could listen to a shmuz and a few minutes later listen to another shmuz, obviously he's not taking either shmooze too seriously. You hear a shmooze, it should be like, you have to digest it. When I was in Eretz Yisrael in yeshiva, so my Rosh Yeshiva would give a shmooze, a vad, and we would go with him afterwards and ask him a question. He'd say, does this have to do with what we just talked about? And we would say, no, it's about something else. Just think about what we just talked about. We just talked about something. Think about it. So since the Kal of a Rebbe already spoke, and who am I to speak after the Kal of a Rebbe? Mi Yovo Yachar HaMelech. So I'm not gonna give a regular Mesilas Yesharim. I'm going to say two things. One is a thought, and one is just a hisaris. I'll start with the thought. I made a bris this Shabbos. And at the same time that I made the bris, I also had in my house for Shabbos, some of you might have noticed, a friend of mine is not from. And spent the whole Shabbos afternoon fighting with him, walking around Waterbury. Which is interesting, to make a bris in the morning and then to try to convince him that maybe he should be faithful to the faith of his forefathers. He went to yeshiva with me. And we had a very, very, very interesting discussion. Very, very interesting discussion, which I'm not going to get into. But I said something to him then, and I was thinking about it afterwards, and it was Miyashiv Akasha. It was Miyashiv Ashaila by me. I might have mentioned this once, I definitely mentioned it to people privately. An interesting report that I heard on the radio a couple of months ago. I heard on the radio a few months ago that there's a church that they, I think, a reconstructed an old church or something like that, I don't remember the details, that they built a machine in there to play a music, to play a song, a certain song, and this song is going to play over, I think, 500 years. I don't remember the amount of time. 500 years it was? It was going to play over a few hundred years, the same song. And so therefore, it plays each note for a few weeks. Da, and then a few weeks later, it goes, da. It's playing the song over 500 years. And it's a tourist attraction. If you're traveling in that part of the country, I don't remember where it was, you could go to this place. And don't try to dance by the beat. It might be a little boring. But it's playing a song for many, many years. And they were saying on the radio, and I to me it was like, at the same time it was intriguing, and at the same time it felt like the Mamash Bikkurei Leitzanus. But the Leitzanus is obvious. I'll explain to you what's intriguing, is that they were talking about how special it would be to people for their children to visit a place and listen to a song and to know that their parents came to this place and listened to the same song. Now it's up to the high part, then it was up to the low part, but that it's the same song. This is what I heard on the radio. And you wonder, like, people actually spend time putting this whole thing together, and it's on the radio, and there are tourists that go to here, and they probably have, you can imagine how they do it, they probably have a whole, first of all, they sell snacks outside, and they have maps, you can imagine, and they probably have a whole display showing which part of the song they're up to, and so on and so forth, the whole thing. What's the urge over here? What's the taiva? What's the tourist attraction? What's going on over here? It's a good shaila? Like, we could say it's a bunch of stomp crazy people. We could do, but like the human beings that set up a tourist attraction and they're talking about how wonderful it would be for their children to come and to listen to the same song that they themselves listen to. Like, what is it? Back to my friends for a minute. I'll get back to that. Back to my friend for a minute. So I'm walking with my friend, and he was telling me about how much variety there is in a life where you don't have to be meshuvah to Torah and mitzvahs. How much variety, which you, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. How much variety there is. So I told him, I said, look, I'm sure that it's a lot of fun to go get drunk in Manhattan and who knows what happens to you. I'm sure it's a lot of fun. I'm sure it is. So he stopped me there to tell me I shouldn't think it's that much fun. He was like worried. I shouldn't think that it was that much fun. He had a lot of very, very hard times. It was also a lot of depressing times. But anyhow, but I said, I'm sure it was fun. I told him like this. I told him you're talking to me on the wrong day. Because today, I made a bris today. You make a bris, so you have a baby that's 8 days old. And you hold him in your hands, and you give him over to the tzaddik, which is like putting a carbon on him is be'ach. And then you say a bracha. And the bracha that you say is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvah Yisof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us Kadosh with His mitzvahs, V'tzivanu, and He commanded us. Now the Mael says, Alamila. But the Father says that He commanded us, L'Hachnisai B'Risai Shel Avram Avinu, to bring Him into the bris of Avram Avinu. That's what the Father says. And I told this guy, and I meant it with, you know, the bris had just happened a few hours before. I told him that I promise him, that the pleasure, I'm not talking about inspiration, I'm not talking about emotion, I'm just talking about pleasure, pure pleasure, that a father has when he says the words, L'achnisai b'vrisa shel Avram Avinu, is far greater than anything that he ever experienced in his entire life. Full confidence. And I meant it, because I've also experienced all kinds of pleasures in my life, and I realize that there's something unique about the pleasure, and this is why I want to try to define what that is, of saying L'achnisai b'vrisa shel Avram Avinu, that just pushes like a different sug of pleasure. It's not like within the realm of regular pleasure. I'm talking about pure pleasure, enjoyment, geschmack. There's a certain geschmack. It's not in the regular realm of good food or money or covet. Those are all very, very, very geschmack. But this geschmack somehow was, in a certain sense, was like on a higher level and much, much more enjoyable. And I was trying to, and that's what I told him, and I meant it. I said it very emotionally, and I meant it. And afterwards, I was thinking to myself, why is that? What's the pshat? Where's the pleasure? What's the pleasure? And the pleasure is like this. Pleasure, the word pleasure in Lashon Kodesh is tainug. Tainug is pleasure. Einig Shabbos. Tainug is pleasure. This world wasn't really created for pleasure. The next world was created for pleasure. The next world is a place where, of eternity, there's no Zman in the next world. Right? The next world will be around the Netzach Netzachim. There's no Zman. It's Nitzvi. Anything in the world that has to do with Nitzchias, even in this world, the pleasure breaks through. Since the world of Netzach, this is a rule, a Machshava rule. Since the world of Netzach is the world of Tainug, is the world of Schar, so therefore anything, even in this world, which is not really for Geschmack, this world is just not really for Tainug, where you touch Netzach, is pleasure. This is the reason, this far, I say, why men and women have a taiva for each other. This is the shayrish of the taiva that a man has for a woman. The reason why a person finds pleasure from being with an Isha is because children, Hailada, which is the end result of the kesher between a man and a woman, children is the nitzchias of a person. A person's children are his nitzchias. A person's going to die. But his children, and his children will have children, and his children's children. Children, b'chanal, the concept of children is a concept of nitzchias. It's a concept of eternity. It's what eternalizes a person. So therefore, that's where it comes in the kaychas ha-nefesh of a person, a taiva for nashim. It's an interesting thing to know, that it comes from touching nitzchias. It's a halakha thing. It comes from touching nitzchias. Taking a kid and saying, L'achnisai b'vrisai shel Avram Avinu. Taking a kid and saying, L'achnisai b'vrisai shel Avram Avinu. Mamish, touching nitzchias. You're taking a kid and you're attaching him to a chain that's 3,000 years old. We don't have shaykhus anything 3,000 years old. Avram Avinu is 3,000 years ago. We're saying this kid is l'achnisai, it's a real thing. There's an Avram Avinu, there's a brisai shel Avram Avinu, and I'm taking this kid and me the father, I'm taking this kid and I'm being machnesim l'brisai shel Avram Avinu. That's it. But not just that, then he's just going to be one link in the chain, but Emir Hashem will take his children, and he'll be machnes them lebrisa shel Avram Avinu, and they'll take their children and be machnes them lebrisa shel Avram Avinu. And somehow, when a father takes his son and is machnes him, brings him into the fold, brings him in lebrisa shel Avram Avinu, somehow, a father at that moment touches nitzchias. And that's why the pleasure is much greater than anything Olam Hazeh has to offer. Because it's like a neshama dika pleasure a little bit. It's almost a me'ein of what our neshama feels in Olam Haba. It's a neshama dika pleasure, just touching its feet. That's what it is. Mashenkin, all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh are transient, temporary pleasures. That even if they come, even if they're shayrishes from Netzach, but they're not lemais right now related to Netzach. It's not. It's almost counterfeit pleasure in comparison to that type of pleasure. That's what I realized. So I understand now a little bit the awe of a guy. I've said this before, but now with the light of this Lach Nisa, it like took on a little bit more life to me. This guy is. Goyim have no shaykhas to anything that has anything to do with Netzach. Nothing. Nothing that has anything to do with Netzkius. Just a transient world. It's a moving world. Nothing to do with Netzach. And they're going to play a song, and the song is going to play year after year after year, generation after generation, and their children will be able to hear the same song, and their grandchildren will be able to hear the same song. Rabbi say, for us, we have such a kesher to Mesirah, to Netzach. We open up a Chumash, we open up a Mesilas Yesharim, we open up a Gemara, we put on tzitzis, tefillin. This guy, my friend, was fighting with me. He like that the Orthodox Jewry today is not the same as the way they you kept Torah mitzvahs when they were mekabel the Torah in Har Sinai. And how wrong he is, how unbelievably, absolutely wrong it is. It's amazing what a person wants to do something, what he can convince himself of. But when we put on tefillin, it's exactly the same tefillin David HaMelech put on. Exactly the same tefillin the Moshe Rabbeinu put on. Exactly the same tefillin the Rashba put on. Exactly the same tefillin the Rosh put on. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. We touch every morning. We come to Yeshiva, we're half asleep, we open up our tefillin, pull out the Shel Yad, boom, we touch Netzach. We touched Nitzchias right there. A guy has no shaychus. Nothing. What does a guy have that's touching Nitzchias? Nothing. Goyim are so hungry for Netzach, they're so hungry for Nitzchias, so hungry for that type of a pleasure, the real pleasure of everlastingness, that even a song that will play for 500 years has them intrigued and curious and excited. It's an amazing thing, but it's an amazing thing. It's not the pshat. You know why we're laughing at those goyim? Not because we can't understand it. Because for us, it's nothing. A song, it's nothing. It's nothing. We take our children, we're machlis them lebrisa shel Avraham Avinu. Boom, 3,000 years connected, weiter. We put on tefillin, Moshe Rabbeinu wore tefillin. Moshe Rabbeinu wore tefillin. You know what that is? Many thousands, hundreds of years? Yidden died over tefillin in concentration camps. Our grandchildren will still be wearing tefillin. We say, Zayis HaTayosh so much, we do Haggabah, right? So in Krakow, 300 years ago, they did Haggabah exactly the same way. Netzach. Yaakov Metz gets up and he lanes the Sedra with the trope. This trope, how many years is this trope going on? Who heard this talking of the same song? How many years are people listening to the same song? We're hearing the same song our fathers heard, our grandfathers heard, our children will hear, our grandchildren will hear. It's touching Netzach. Nitzchias, it's a big thing. We're not just like transient, we're not just, we're connected. We're connected to eternity. It's an amazing thing. It's a good wake-up call. It's a good wake-up call. Okay, I wanted to say one more thing, but I don't want to dilute this thing, so we'll talk about it tomorrow.